And football remains nice, even when there's a break in the EPL, which is what I primarily follow. Gareth, of course, likes the Championship because that's where Hull City find themselves and may yet remain. We've had some fantastic football stories going on this week. Firstly, Messi still might get Ballon d'Or, in spite of the fact that he's playing in America.
Amazing.
I don't think, has that ever happened before? Someone playing...
No, they won't have done, surely.
Would have been only people playing in major European leagues, I would have thought, wouldn't it? And it's usually... Lionel Messi. Wherever he plays. Where's Lionel Messi play? Well, he's the best. Give it to him. That's really interesting story we're looking at. We're also going to be looking at that YouTube football match. And I saw it and I couldn't make visual sense of it. And I actually couldn't identify the stadium, even though it's the home ground of the team that I support, West Ham United. It was just so sort of, it's sort of jarring and startling to see the Sidemen there, YouTube sensations, playing a YouTube all-star team to raise money for various good causes. I couldn't like get my head, because whenever you see like a charity match of any description, even when it's quite high profile, ex-pros or even current pros, you know, like in some sort of friendly context, the crowd looks different and is often not full. This thing was like they've just invented a new sport. I mean, I suppose this is off the back of those kind of Logan Paul boxing matches. Is it's now the criteria of excellence is no longer required. And this is not criticism. It's a charity raising endeavour. And I'm not, that would be like some sort of, stick in the mud. That's why they shouldn't be allowed to do that. Of course they should be allowed to do that. They should be able to do whatever they want. I'm just looking at the idea of merit or excellence, at least, no longer being the... A kind of a precondition, because that's what sport, because I suppose sport comes from things like the Olympics, where it's literally about excellence. These are the very fittest, finest. But now it's about something else. It's become about something else.
New models, I think it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we've talked about that Sound of Freedom before, and the way in which Sound of Freedom came to what make more money than Indiana Jones at the box office.
That's true. I think maybe even Mission Impossible.
Incredible, really. And that is like a new model of raising capital and a new model of advertising, all those kind of things. And it's the same for these guys. I mean, obviously amazing what Logan Paul and his brother have done, but this was astonishing. I watched it and the production value was incredible. Like, it was like watching a Champions League game, not even a Premier League game. It was absolutely, they pulled out all the stops. It was really amazing.
There's so much wealth and revenue. In a sense, I think these people are remarkable vanguard entertainers, particularly, I mean, suppose the ones I've heard of, like Mr. Beast and KSI there.
It was so mad to see Mr. Beast, actually, because obviously it's in England, and he wasn't as anywhere near as prominent as you would think he would, because obviously Mr. Beast in YouTube world is Mr. YouTube, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he's astonishingly massive on there. In this game, he was just one of the many, many players. It was like, oh, there he is, it's Mr.
Beast. Did you know who many of them were?
I knew a few, and I mean, I know the Sidemen, but I didn't know everyone.
How do you equate a phenomena like this, or not equate, contrast and compare this phenomena with the sort of appearing changes in the kind of upper echelons of, say, for example, Hollywood? Like, sort of now the most major Hollywood stars, is it like sort of someone like Timothy Chalamet or whatever?
Right.
Like, if you think like in the 80s or 90s, it's like Arnie, Sly Stallone, Bruce Willis, Demi Moore. Like, there's all these sort of like, these are what stars are. As media diversifies and changes, it's like these people are more famous than any movie star.
Certainly to a certain generation they are.
Yeah. And like, other than KSI and Mr. Beast, I mean, them other four lads, I don't know if they're English, I don't know like where they're from.
They're a mixture, yeah.
Amazing, I suppose, because some of them are YouTube all-stars and some of them are like from Sidemen, like that other lad. Like, I mean, it's extraordinary the way that technology alters the world. Have we got any of it? Have we got any like footage? I saw a little bit of it, and like you say, it just shows that the sort of the standard of the game is sort of less relevant. Someone's getting a yellow card. Let's have a look at this little bit.
Could be the first booking of the game.
Wowzers, trousers.
Yellow card.
The Uno reverse.
Is Uno reversed it? That's a first. What does that mean? Kattenberg's on a yellow?
Kattenberg's on a yellow.
This is meta-modernity, right? Because now, like, it's something that I think all of us think about with sport, is that we have to enter into a consensus to enjoy it. Like, if you were watching it from a sort of, what do I want to say, a kind of truly objective perspective, we would simply pick the ball up and run it into the net, or, you know, like this. And, like, to see that kind of odd meta-modern moment where someone gives a card to the referee. Also,
that's
to see
Max Foch, I think, that was. Was it? Max Forshue. He ran for London Mayor, didn't he, last year?
Well, there's an interesting concept. Max Foch, that's Max Foch giving a card back to the referee, and the referee sort of gamely recognising that his authority is subverted. I'm going to offer you now that this is a sort of a cultural artefact that demonstrates a changing and shifting paradigm. Yeah. Firstly, there's a new set of stars, YouTube all-stars and sidemen. Football no longer needs to be based on, as you said earlier, if the ephemera is still there, like the car bringing out the ball and the full crowd and all that stuff, it sort of seems as spectacular as anything else. It's almost like some kind of mass pornographization could take place, where you could just go, let's get celebrities, you know, like something that used to be like an MTV show, like MTV Celebrity Deathmatch, yeah, or whatever. You sort of could have that now.
Yeah.
You could sort of have that. There's something sort of like this. I'm not saying it's nihilistic. I think it's like a new context.
Yeah. I mean, what's amazing is what you were saying before about these guys are, you know, bigger than movie stars now. And I think definitely to a certain audience they are. Imagine if you'd had a movie when we were young where you could literally get 40 of your favourite movie stars and put them all in one movie. I mean, that's essentially what's happening is people are going to watch this and filling stadiums because they're seeing all their favourite YouTube stars in one place. It must be. And doing something that, you know, must feel a bit exciting as well, and
it must be bloody brilliant. My kids watch someone called Salish and Jordan. Jordan is her dad who makes the shows, and Salish is this young kid, and it's just her getting on with stuff. And I mean, it's pretty amazing the way they the product placements, the graphics, everything is so sort of slick, so much faster. It's like because the evolution from, say, radio to television is plainly sensually different, you sort of think, okay, well, obviously that's going to outdate, outmode and outstrip its predecessor. But this is still like you're looking at stuff, but it has a different mentality to it. It has a different vibe. It has something about it, the speed that it moves at, the casualness. Like, other stuff seems stilted and odd and like it's not moving at the right pace. Like, when you watch something else, it seems like it's too full of artifice and lacking in authenticity. And there is something philosophically happening. When, like, gives the car back, and it's sort of like mucking around and that. Yeah. And I'm not trying to jizz all over this sort of thing that's only, you know, it's a bit of fun. But I'm just saying,
no, I agree with
you're melting something.
I think you're right. There was like moments where KSI was getting interviewed. He was in goal because obviously he's preparing for a fight. And so they didn't want him to get injured or anything. So he was in goal. And every so often, the kid who was doing the interviews would interview him just next
in
to
the
his...
game.
During the game.
Why not?
There you go. And I was watching it thinking exactly that. And these are the things that obviously football will evolve. In a way, they're ahead of the curve. They're creating new formats that almost inevitably you would think football will embrace at some point.
Mr. Beast, what I've always thought about him is he's someone that just sort of goes, yeah, that'd be good. I'm not diminishing his obvious, incredible set of skills and industry that's gone into it, but he thinks in like a producer, would have done in TV 20 years ago. I think of like Chris Evans, a famous sort of British TV personality. And now you have the possibility that football will be kind of forced to go, oh my God, people like that. Because I always thought it would be driven, and I suppose it will, by finance and commerce. When they do things like introducing VAR, I'm like, oh, that's going to... I always thought they'll put adverts on while decisions are being made. That's how it will be leveraged. But now it seems like it might somehow be influenced culturally rather... And I suppose culture and finance, perhaps to a degree, they're sort of indistinguishable and can't be separated. But that's mad. And now, why not, instead of when you go a yellow card or a sending off, we're going to release a tiger onto the pitch? You're like, oh, yeah, cool. because the world is sort of, I think it's sort of beautiful because it's evolution. But in another sense, I do think it's end times indicators. When you see Messi's bodyguard running down the pitch at the side of it, it shows you that it's changed. Mm-hmm. It's changed. And you're the person that sort of always observed that football's robustness, its power, like something great like Shakespeare, can withstand messing with it. It's so sort of powerful that, as you said, you can put it in Qatar, you can do all these things, and you're still like, oh my God, it's amazing. There's nothing wrong with putting it in Qatar, but you perhaps were aware of the controversy and stuff that went on at that time. And now it's like, oh my God, you ain't seen nothing yet.
It's really interesting because you go, well, how powerful is this game? And maybe all games, maybe all sport, but I was watching this and obviously the level of quality is way below a professional football match. But when you but then also there's a range of quality within the players. So there's this one lad called Manny. He was actually really good. And so when he scores a really good goal, you're like, oh, that's brilliant. And so you've adjusted your levels of kind of expectation, you know. So you're now watching something when a moment of quality pops up. It is entertaining.
You actually felt excitement.
Oh, well done, mate.
Yeah, I suppose you would. Like if you start watching a game at a park or something like that. Oh, I'm into this now.
You know what we need to do, don't you? Rumble All-Stars.
Rumble All-Stars.
Yes.
Look, I'm not comfortable playing football at a level that has...
But you know,
stars.
It's all the Americans. They're not going to be able to play football, Ross. You'll finally be the best player on the pitch.
Can we play just against American children? Like, if we play against American children...
I'm not sure, actually, that's because they play a lot of soccer, don't they, in America? The kids play soccer.
They'll be good.
It's the adults that you want to play. It's the crowd.
The elderly, the vulnerable. Bring us your sick. What that's who it is. It's the message at the bottom of Statue of Liberty. Bring us your dispossessed, your ravaged, your poor, your sick, your broken, with bunions, ingrowing toenails, drunk, falling over, and play the Rumble All Stars.
Yeah, we want to play Glenn Greenwald.
For the football. Yeah, Glenn.
Yeah.
That's all right. I'm up for that.
Okay.
And perhaps a couple of his dogs versus us.
Sure.
And our dog. Yep. Let's do it. Also, over in the world of ephemera culture around football, Postecoglou, Spurs' new beloved manager, had a song sung about him, first by their fans, then by Robbie. But now we commented on it. And look, the Spurs fans that wrote it, they like it.
Aww.
They like us talking about it. I never saw that. That's cool. They are thanking us for commenting on... because we sort of said, who come up with it?
Yeah, we liked it. We liked the lyrics. Christian Gross, we were very into that.
Yeah, you pointed out that it was a sort of a third and a button and all that kind of stuff. That's pretty good. Let's see what's going on with Saudi radically shifting away to politically neutral areas of the game. Let's see what Saudi... Is that all Saudi Arabia's... Look at the Saudi Arabia All-Stars. Could they beat the Sidemen? I mean... Look at them. I heard the guest of Football is Nice and friend Simon Jordan say he could give you an argument for why each and every one of them, in one way or another, is sort of past it. Or,
oh, really?
Yeah, he did sort of say that, more or less. I hope I'm not oversimplifying it. But, I mean, that's a...
I don't think that's true in all cases.
Go on, who would you say?
There was that Kessie, who's left Barcelona. I was looking at some of the ages of some of them, and I think Kessie's like... 26, like some of them are mid-20s and have come from teams like Lazio,
I don't think he just
Barcelona.
Meant aged.
Okay.
I reckon he said, like, say for example, Saint-Maximin.
Yeah.
Right, brilliant footballer.
Sure.
Probably not 30.
Yeah.
But look at what's going on at Newcastle. Newcastle are sort of transitioning into a better side. And look at Riyad Mahrez. Like, I think they want more like Arabic and Muslim players, isn't it? That's why the prize to get is Mo Salah, isn't it?
I think it's a good point. And I think...
It's Karim Benzema. I think he's Muslim. N'Golo Kante. I don't know if I'm getting into the religion of it. I just suppose it's culturally, it gives it some sort of weight in Saudi Arabia.
I think you can probably also form an argument for why none of them were kind of elite players at the top of their game necessarily.
Yeah, it's not like Haaland.
Exactly.
Like that's,
and that's why Salah wouldn't have... It would have been an anomaly to an extent.
Yeah. And also... maybe this is just our kind of, what do you want to call it, Occidentalism, just our sort of perspective is like anyone that, like, because I used to think that when say David Platt or Gazza or Mark Hughes, Lineker, when English or British players went from our league to Spain or Italy, I thought they've gone somewhere better.
Yeah,
that was the sort of assumption, wasn't it? And that because when we were growing up, Italy, the Italian league, still the Italian national team, but the Italian league was better than the Premier League.
Yeah.
Spanish league better, and then it was us probably, wasn't it? And maybe you'd say like, we were sort of generally better than German and French.
Yeah,
but like we regarded them like because of teams like AC Milan with like the Rijkaards and the
I think you're right, and I think there is a distinction between the players that have gone to Saudi and, for example, Jude Bellingham. Going to Real Madrid. Jude Bellingham, someone who is, you know, peak within his career at the moment, his age, his abilities, what he's doing at Madrid. I mean, he is on fire at Madrid.
Yeah, he's only got five or something.
He's absolutely started the season incredibly. And so, luckily, Jude Bellingham's gone to an established footballing... I don't know, nation and team. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. I don't want to kind of sound dismissive.
The conversation is interesting. Firstly, because like here are things that are definitely Occidentalism and just a lack of familiarity. I'm not yet sure what all of the different teams are, but that is now enough. That if you saw, you know, a match between the one that Ronaldo's in and the one that Neymar's in, you're like, oh, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So sort of interesting enough spectacle now. Yeah. What our man Jordan said is that there's a point where if they want to, for example, participate in the Champions League, which isn't impossible on the, you know, there's no reason why it has to be Europe because Turkey isn't sort of conventionally Europe. And again, do you know what? You end up having quite important cultural conversations because when you're talking about Europe, sometimes what you're talking about, are you talking about whiteness? Are you talking about Christianity? What are you actually talking about? Mm. What are you actually talking about when you say Europe? I mean, I know it's a recognised continent, but it's extraordinary. What are you talking about when you say Western? Because sometimes when you say Western, you mean Australia, which is not in the West. Yeah. And you're like, oh, right, what I mean is sort of North European derived white post-colonial. I mean, it's a bit of a mouthful, so I can see why you would say Western, but like it's reached a really
they'd find a way if the Champions League needed to be rebranded to include Saudi Arabia.
They would, but as he points out, then they would be subject to financial fair play, and at that point this model falls apart. No one's gonna go there presumably out when they could be in Paris or Barcelona. But then again, you have to start asking questions of yourself, don't you? That's what I think started to happen around Qatar. Like it's an odd consequence of globalism, and that you now start have to look at how you culturally categorize things. And in the end, true globalism, i.e. we have a perspective of the world, ought mean no slavery, no little children going down mines, a true understanding of a kind of parity and equality of the world's people, fairness. I mean, like, the world will not be able to accommodate it's the sort of presumed ideology because there's still too much masked exploitation, corruption, monetization. Is it, in a way, it's a sort of, I like it as a circus because I enjoy spectacle. We all do, don't we?
Yeah, it is. It's an interest, and it raises some very interesting conversations at the moment, this situation with Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, because it's not all just, because my first reaction is, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. And that's sort of when you examine it, you're like, well, why not? Yep. Why the hell not?
Yeah.
Hey, you know the Ballon d'Or is probably going to be won by Messi, but Julian Alvarez of City, is he being nominated this year? The nomination's out for it. Has Haaland been nominated?
I'm not sure.
Because apparently he's in some Awakened Wonderpants or something that looks similar to Awakened Wonderpants. These are the nominees. Barella, Bellingham, Benzema. It's a long short list, isn't it?
It's a long list.
It's too long. I can't even actually conceptualize it, and it doesn't have enough. Hold on a minute, break that down. How many people were playing in? You know, it's not, that's probably not English Premier League dominated, is it, anymore? You know, there's a lot of, like, I would say, what's the biggest single nation represented there? I wonder, would you be confident that it's the UK at a glance? Salah, Saka, Rodri,
it'll be between Spain and England.
Yeah, Haaland. But then also, the two English people are abroad.
They are now, yeah.
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 It's cool. Right, well, let's have a look then. Let's have a look at Alvarez in some Awakened Wonder pants. Let's see if that's true. Because you could become an Awakened Wonder at any time. Click the red button. Like Julian Alvarez almost certainly has not. And it's likely a visual error. Let's have a look. Why did he? That, I actually am astonished by that. I've never seen that. Taking the shirt off is such a sort of an accepted piece of conduct. Yes. To see someone like that actually was a bit overwhelmed by that.
No, I know. I noticed the shift in your facial expression.
My breathing changed because, like, when he bent down, he's just like, that's his bum.
And do we need to explain for our audio listeners what
Awakened Wonderpants are? The first 1,000 of you that join our locals Awakened Wonderpant community will get these little underpants that look a lot like that, with a little badge over where the reproductive organ might be.
Will they make your bum look as good as that?
I don't think so. Right. I think what you'll have to do there is become an elite athlete and work
and
your
win
glutes.
Everything. Because hasn't he won everything now? I think he's won it all in the same year.
Was it like?
Because he's won the treble Man City, and he won the World Cup as well, and he won the Copa America with Argentina the year before or something. Like, I think he's won the most ludicrous amount of trophies in
so
the space
weird,
of about
it?
A year.
That's it. It's just he's Alexander the Great. He's got no mountains left to climb. He's going to have to invent. He's going to go and play like against the Sidemen just for something kind of novel to happen to him.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
And he's got a bum like that.
And that's his bum. That's his own bum. There he is winning a variety of every single trophy with the same just sort of mild contentment that characterises someone that's got such a delicious bum. Hey, get yourself some Nou Camp grass. I got Upton Park seats from you.
Yes.
That I sit on. Get yourself some Camp Nou, Barcelona's legendary stadium grass for €420. Do we want some of that?
No.
No, we don't want it because it's just grass. Can you? You don't care?
Not
grass.
Not really. It's grass, isn't it?
You don't care. I like the presentation though.
It's good. It's a nice idea.
You get it in a little stadium. Mm. That would.
It's pretty cool.
I'd go.
I would
that.
Actually take care of that. I would.
Yeah.
I would nurture that
because
grass.
It's in that thing. I'd be pretty sad if I looked in there one day and it had gone all brown.
Yes.
I'd be like, let myself down there.
I have to use this for something else now.
What am I going to just? I'm going to
use a little mouse in there or something.
Get a little mouse, do the old test on it. This one's good to go. The mouse is still alive. The grass. Hold on. Nope. The mouse is dead. The grass is dead. I'll give it a try. It'll be all right. But meanwhile, over at the Bernabeu, Real Madrid, the historic opponent and, shall we say, enemy. I mean, it's fair to say enemy if you consider the Luis Figo matter other matters. The Bernabeu's, like, this looks amazing. I can't believe I've never been there and I want to go there and I want to dedicate my life to just going to football stadium. Have you?
Yeah.
When did you go?
I went when Beckham was there. Ooh. I saw Madrid win a title on the last day of the season. Yeah,
God.
It was great. I was right at the top and the atmosphere was amazing.
Yeah. Just in holiday in Spain?
I went for a work job.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. I was very lucky. It's one of those moments where you're like...
Were you working on the job? Was it like when you were on one of them sports shows?
Yeah, I was on a show that there was a competition for someone to win and I went with the winner and this was great.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But now they've updated that stadium. Let's have a look at the new Bernabeu. Because I think it's got like, it can have a lid on it. They can do big television shows in its upper echelons. Let's have a look. Why does it do that? Oh, come on. They can just move it. I actually can't even...
No, what's the point? It just looks like a jigsaw at the moment.
Why are they playing sort of Tetris with the ground for? Move that over there. Now what? Now, they should do that during games. No, you don't. Now you're over on the wing.
The sidemen will probably do that next year.
We're going to play on the moving Bernabeu. We are the sidemen. No, nope, middlemen. So, no, nope, back to the side. Oh. I'm struggling to deal with this. First, there's Alvarez's bum.
Yes.
Now, this extraordinary universe.
Right.
It's mental. Funding this. Like, that's so expensive, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, and they've bought Bellingham.
Yeah, no. Well, they got him for a bargain price, to be honest.
Did they?
80-odd mil for what he's demonstrating.
He's got 5 goals already.
I think he's scored the winner in 2 or 3 games already.
What is this guy?
I know. He's fantastic. He's gone at the right time. Madrid are looking tasty. New stadium, cracking young team.
Bellingham. Yeah. Supremacy.
Mm. Back. It's back.
Real Madrid ascending.
Mm.
Okay, let's have a look at some predictions. What happened last week?
Oh, no.
Well, we did the same, which for you is a crushing loss. Because, there's nothing of note there, is there?
No, there isn't really.
Just that's like, you'd get the same if you've got sort of like a mouse to walk across a chessboard paint on its feet.
Yeah.
Like, we're as clever as that.
Yeah.
You're soaring ahead, very much the Man City of this. And there are some further predictions. We've reduced it down. Bad graphics, Jack just decided that was happening. And thus it was deemed. So, Hull, good start to the season. You've got to assume they're going to beat Coventry. And I'm going to say...
Be a tough game.
Coventry...
Playoff finalists last season, Coventry. That'll be a tough game.
But off that string of draws, no. 3-0, Hull.
Wow.
West Ham. Oh, look at that clash of the titans.
That's amazing.
West Ham and Man City. Just one draw. I just feel like the colour red is going to sneak to the left-hand side of the screen there.
Hope not.
No, I mean,
if anyone's going to give City a game at the moment, it's West Ham.
Because of the robust sort of sitting deep, set pieces. Let's see if we can get a 1-1 draw. AC Milan v Newcastle. Is this Champions League?
Yep.
Group game. Yep. Cool.
Yeah, Newcastle back in the Champions League. That's exciting.
I hope they win.
Yeah, absolutely.
1-0 away. Bayern v Man U. Oh, 3-1 Bayern, don't you reckon?
Current form, Bayern, surely.
So those are my predictions. You didn't do your predictions as usual.
I did.
Well, while I was talking.
Oh, this week. So I did last week.
Like, I know you do. You go off and squirrel away and consult AI. You consult AI.
I just take a little bit longer to think about it.
Well, that's good. Because
didn't work last week, did it?
No, you got the same results as me, and I'll paint foot the mouse. Okay, so there you go. Do join us next week for another episode of Football is Nice, because football is nice. It's confusing, but it's nice.